عشنا بقالي جبرت عليك عند عبدالله من الأول مش نفسها زي عبدالله تماما is required 3 ديان ولا إذا بقالي كذلك المفاش is required عشان هاد بيتعنا 23 ديان So the Mishnah mentions various cases of dinimominis which are sufficient of 3 dayanim, which you don't need 23 for. So Zeros, Mahavos, and Ernest, and Satan, which is Shemer, everything, any case of dinimominis is sufficient of 3 dayanim. And in the case of Motzi Shemra, the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir. Whereas Rav Meir says that Motzi Shemra is a plain case of dinim ominous and sufficient of 3 dayanim, the Chachamim disagree and say Motzi Shemra, the Esmer Shloisha, you need 23 dayanim, and Tnesha Yesh Boy didn't oppose it. So the simple shot was that it can sometimes Motzi Shemra has dinim nefashis, even though we're discussing the case. If there's no dinim nefashis, you still need 23 dayanim. So this is the sugya that we're in the middle of discussing. It doesn't make any sense. Why should the Rabbanu require 23? Just because in some cases of Motzi Shemra, somebody's going to get Nisa, but today we're not talking about a case of where anybody's getting any Nisa. Why do the Rabbanu disagree with them? That's the Gemara Shah. So the Gemara gave different suggestions, starting from Chesam and Aleph on the bottom, the last 5 lines, Chesam and Beis, and now we're on Chesam and Aleph, on the top of Chesam and Aleph, on the 4th line, Ravina gives a Nuksha. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, what is the machlokes? What is the point of the machlokes between a Rav Meir and a Chachamim in a Mishnah where the Motzi Shemra is sufficient with 3? Just plain dinim ominous. Is it plain dinim ominous and it's enough with 3 dayanim? Or is it a kei ominous? Is it plain dinim ominous and it's enough with 3 dayanim? Or is it a case which involves dinim nefashis and therefore she needs 23? Ravina says that we're talking about a special case. Kigon, she nimse echad min ha'edim korov ha'pasha. We're speaking of a case where there are more, the husband, let's take Rashi's chapter. Tosis is going to boil down to the same thing, but it's a little more complicated. Let's learn like Rashi. The husband brings Aiden, man is married, and he brings Aiden who testifies she ishto zinsa, his wife was Hazana, during marriage, during Erisin, before he got to have Nisun with his wife. No, if ishto zinsa during Erisin, the wife has to get the onus of skila, he gets the punishment of Nisun. So if she's going to get the punishment of Nisa, then you need 23 dayan. We're discussing whether we're going to give a Nisa or not. So a case of being the Nefashis needs Chachimah dayan. That is the opinion of the Chacham, that we have a case where there's Nefashis. The Rav Meir says, no, we're talking about a case where it's not going to lead to any Nefashis. Why? Because we have a case where there are 3 Eidim. You have to have a minimum of 2 Eidim. If you have more than 2, it's Avadivit. But all you need are really 2. What happens if you have more than 2 Eidim, you have 3 or more, and one of those Eidim who came to testify was a proselyte, let's say he was a Korov, or let's say he was a Rosh. So if you have a group of eight and one of whom is a Korov or a Rosh, so then there's a machlokes hatanayim. What do you say? Nimsech min ha'edim Korov apostle. If you have a group and one of the eidim is rejected because he's no good, he's a Rosh, he's a Korov, does that invalidate the eidim and the other two eidim who are normal kosher eidim? There's nothing wrong with them. So that the Gemara a Rasha, there are two kinds, right? One is a Rasha de Chamas, one who does Averis Nachmas Kimon Mammon, either a gambler, or let's say one who steals money from others, or one who will eat trashy food because it's less expensive, one who does any kind of an Avera, one who will give Eidu Sheker because he's paid for it, one who has principles and compromises his principles, let's say a person basically knows he's supposed to keep kosher, except that he doesn't want to keep kosher because it's too expensive. So such a person is called a Rasha de Chamas. He's a Rasha, Machna, he does Averis, Machna's Chimim Mom. Then there's another kind of a Rasha, that's a Rasha de Lav Nechamas. Let's say a person doesn't have any principles. The guy's he's reformed, conservative, he's aufrichtig, he's honest, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't steal, pays income tax, everything's on the level, but just doesn't keep cashless, doesn't keep shop, doesn't keep anything. This is Bishayig, it's a different thing. If he was never educated, just never heard of all this, everything's Bishayig. What if he's an Oivra Aver? The means that he knows that according to the Jewish religion, this is not allowed. And he doesn't care. He says that's not he's not orthodox. He doesn't believe in all that. But he's an Elohim. So that's a machlokes Abaye v'Rava. Later, that's one of the 6 cases where we passed him like Abaye against Rava. Rava says that he's kosher l'Hodim. Rava says that the only one who's kosher l'Hodim is a Rosh of the Chamas. One is kosher, one who does Aver is Machmas Timut Mom. But a person that's, in other words, he has principles and he compromises the principles in order to gain money or in order to save money. What if the person is an honest person, but he's just not religious, just doesn't have these religious standards or values? Then Rava says that it's kosher lights. That's called a mumr. Eicha nevelis lahakas. If he eats nevelis litayavon, means that he eats it because it's less expensive. Or some Rishonim even say because he enjoys it better. They cook the food better than the kosher food. So then he's certainly kosher lights. Everybody agrees. But what happens if he doesn't believe in the religion at all? Mumr Eicha nevelis lahakas. Just doesn't believe at all. So then one would think that it's certainly possible. No, so that's a machlokes abayvor. So that's one of the six cases. That's the yalkegam. The Gemara gives Rashi Tevis Yudai Lamed Kuf Gimel Mem. The yalkegam are the six cases where we pass from like Abaye against Rav. This is one of them. The Mem of yalkegam is Mumer Oichel Nevelos Lahav. So we pass from like Abaye. That is also possible. It's a shailen din exactly. It's a shailen din. What Abaye sheik exactly is. We'll have to discuss a little bit here tonight. There's a big shaila that Rashi Yosi quotes in Machloket, and it's Toif and Chosh Mishpot, where Rashi Yosi quotes and discusses it, and then in Eben Ezra is a big shaila in Sinai Yud Zayin, the Heker Agudas. There's a big shaila exactly what this means. See, according to Rav, we know what the story is, very short and simple. A person who sins, either he steals money, or he eats crazy food, or he gives Eidu Shek, a person does any Aveira whatsoever, in any area, whether they're not a Mamach, not a Havera, a person does something which he feels is an Aveira, and he does it anyway, Matan Chimud Mamon, that's called a Rasha Dechama. So just like he compromises for money over there, so we're afraid that maybe he'll testify falsely because of a bribe. Maybe he'll take money and testify falsely. So according to Rabbi Nosman, a Rasha Dechama is postulated because it's Choshut L'Shaker. We don't trust him. We are afraid that he may tell a lie. What about a Korov? What about a person who's a relative? My brother can't testify for or against me. Why not? So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, and that Kufman tells that the Korov with the Halacha, the Gemara uses Halacha Lamaisa and Afkaminim, it's not standard philosophy. The Gemara says the din is that the Rosh is postulated because he's Choshev L'Shaker. We are afraid that he may be lying, whereas the Korov, the Gemara says, is Gzeres HaMelech, what we would call it, Gzeres HaKosher. Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aharon. So who would ever think that they're telling a lie? They're not Choshev that they're going to tell a lie. And nevertheless, the Torah says that Krovim, Absulim Leidus. So it must be that it's Gzeres HaMelech. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a din. That Krov Mapsulim Leidus, even though there's no Hashash Meshach. That's how it's mentioned. And here the Rishonim and the Acharon have a big controversy regarding Abaye Shita that we have accepted Ledina here. This is one of the six cases where we pass like Abaye against the Rova. In this case, the person is a Rasha, a Mumar, and not a Rasha Shalfamas, not a Rasha Dechamas. A Mumar Eichel Nevelos Lachachis, it just doesn't, he's not what he does. He just doesn't observe these mitzvahs at all. So why is it that a Rasha, the Lab Dechamas, why is a Mumar Lachachis postulated? Abai says that's included in the process. What does that mean? Does it mean that he too is chashuv l'shaker? Just like one whom we know compromises his standards in order to gain money, in order to gain revenue. So just like in that case, he's chashuv, certainly chashuv l'shaker, so too anyone, let's say the most honest person, but if he's not religious, we say just like he's not religious, so too we'll chashuv him that he may tell a lie. Or should you say no? When the hefet takes it, should be chashuv that he's going to tell a lie? He's an elephant, he never tells a lie, never cheats, never steals. So maybe it's also just a Gzeres HaMelech. Maybe the fact that a Rasha, the Lab Dechomos, the Mumal HaHachis, is postulated, maybe that's just a Gzeres HaMelech. What's an Afkamina? So there in Baba Basra, there's an Afkamina, the Afkamina that the Rishonim originally discussed. The Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and the Beis Yosef discusses. There it's a little complicated, Kuf Nun Tet. It'll take a while to say over, but the simple Afkamina, the most common Afkamina that comes up is by an Aguna. Let's say a man is missing and the wife is an Aguna. She's not allowed to remarry because she doesn't know whether her husband is alive or dead. And he says, maybe he's still alive. So what if an Eid Echad comes, or two Eidim come, and they testify the husband is dead? Well, it's unfortunate, but we're happy. We know the husband is dead. Woman, oh, it's Aguna. Now she's permitted to remarry. What if the people who come and testify are Krovim? What if the husband is a brother? The husband's two brothers come and they testify that he died and they buried him. So normally, Krov Mapsulim Leidus, so here the Gemara says we accept the testimony of the relatives, even though in all over Kalatar Kula Krov Manogur, here we accept any Eidus, except the Gemara says, with the exception of a Rasha, a Gazman Shalter. Gazman Shalter, let's say a person is a gambler in such a way that he's only possible Eidus in the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, a Mesachik Bekuv, you're one who gambles, only possible Eidus in the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, we would accept his testimony by the Agunikins. But let's say the guy's an outright gunner, a real guy. In such a way that he's postulated as Menatera, a real Rosh Hashanah. So then the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the second parak, that Gazlan Shal Torah is postulated as even by Hetera by an Aguna, that you accept Eidus from anybody, but not from a Gazlan Shal Torah. So why a simple why? Because it's Choshev L'Shaker. The whole reason why the Torah says that a Gazlan is postulated is because it's not just a Gzeres HaKosu. Whatever is just a Gzeres HaKosu, the Rabbanon said, we will forego, we will be mekabel, we will be mekel, we will allow the woman to remarry based on postulated. But it's not a question of stam, a formality that the Eidus is possible. It's a chashash that maybe the fellow's telling a lie, so how can we rely on what he says? So by a Rosh of the Chomas, by one who's a real Ganes, so there we know the Gemara says that a Gazman Shal Torah cannot be believed in a case of Eidus Isha by Heter Agunis. So the big machlokes that the post can have, halacha lemais, it comes up unfortunately very often, is what happens if the fellow who testifies, the fellow testifies to the Imam of the Aguna, is not a gunner, he's an honest person, but he's just not religious. Let's say, unfortunately, let's say an Israeli army, and someone is killed. And not always can you have a religious soldier there when they bury him, when he knows that the person was killed and drowned or whatever. A lot of times you have a soldier who's an elecha, honest, doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't steal, but he's not religious, just not religious. So halacha lemaisa, such a person would be postulated to be an eid for a get, to be an eid for a chasim, to be an eid for a dinteir. Three postulated, but the question is by heter agunim. By agunim we accept all of psula yedis, with the one exception of the yed who's kosher the shaker. And the Gemara gives the example of the yed who's kosher the shaker, is the gazi on shal teiro. So there's a big machlokes. What about Russia, the lav dechor, the one who's just a bal averus? Why do we pass him like Abai? Did Abai say, what did Abai mean when he said that a mumalahakas is possible aid is not there? Did Abai mean to say that even a mumalahakas is also chasher v'shaker? In which case there's no good by heter agunah. So do you say no? You assume today we'll make a piece of the machroinim. It's a big, long, long machloikis. Every yachron is a lot. Everybody has something to say. Yes or no? It's like 50-50. They have a long list. Pisrik Shuvah and Ebenezer Simon Yud Zayin quotes a long list of achronim and say no good, and a long list of achronim and say that it is good. The Mekul today, this I'll believe that I'd like to discuss it a little bit in the places tonight.
Isn't there a simple svar that a karav would favor? I mean, why do you have to come out like this? A cause of a karav?
That's how the Gemara says. There is a bit of a spirit that Ashashi is. The Gemara has later on in Sanhedrin and the Sugi. That's the Gemara that I mentioned is in Baba Basa Daf Kuf Nun Tes. The last Gemara, last pieces of the last Daf Gemara and Perek Mishanes. But later in Perek Zeborah, there the Gemara says that Krov Matsudim Leidus relatives just exeris a cause. That's a formal law, it's not a logic, because even Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aaron would be noted. So the Rashash has a kasha, the Gemara says later, on Chav Chesan Beis, the Gemara has here in Sanhedrin, the Gemara has a whole figure of Krovim. So the Gemara says that Krov Matsudim Leidus is determined wherever there's a Kruvei Daito. Wherever there's no Kruvei Daito, then the Krovim are not Matsudim Leidus. But in this sugya would appear that the reason why Krov Matsudim Leidus is because the Choshev that they may either favor him, and they may have something in against him, and they may, let's say, two krovim to each other cannot testify either. The two dinim krovim. The edim cannot be related to the person about whom they're testifying, nor can the two witnesses be related to each other. So that's rather what the Gemara is speaking about over here. So why? Because we're afraid maybe one witness will rely on the other witness, and he won't really be medayik, he won't really say what he really saw. He will say, well, if my brother says it so I will also say the same thing, assuming that it's true, because I know my brother doesn't know. So that's a bit of a contradiction. The Rashash asks that kasha. He doesn't give any test. He just asks it. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, and Chavcheh on the base, the Krov Matsudim Leidus is because you have any Kruvei Daito. Sounds like it's a Svara. The Pesach is telling you a Svara that the Choshesh Mishum Mishaker, whereas the Gemara says in Barabbas, the Kruvei Daito, that it's a Gzeri Tamna. It's a kasha. We'll learn the Gemara, maybe we'll have a test. Are accepted, yeah.
And there is not a question of material
motives, because
the only thing I
see is the
that's
a machlokes there, where the Krov Mar Kosher for Kiddush Achodesh, the machlokes Hatanai. Yeah. So, Nahamo, so we have a machlokes Hatanai. What's the deal in the following case? I have a group of three witnesses come to testify about a story. Two of them are normal kosher witnesses. They're passed by mitzvah. A kid before by mitzvah is no good. If it's a cherish or a shaita is no good. If it's an isha, it's no good. If it's an ebed knaini, is no good. If it's a rosha, a gazlan, no good. He passed all the requirements. The two of the three people are ksherim leidus, and the third one is either a rosha, who's postulated, any kind of a rosha, or the third one, let's say, is a korah. So what's the deal if three eidim come to testify? Two of them are good, and one of them is possible. Do you have the right to accept the two who are good? Or do you say no? That either you accept the whole group, or you can't accept anybody. Something like eidish abatim mitzvahs about the group. The phrase "Eidi Shabbatim Mitzvahs Bat Lekula" is used in the Gemara and Bava Kamma in a different sense. Let's say I tell a long story. I tell a whole Haggadah, so it takes me an hour to tell. And I say, this happened, and that happened, the other thing happened. And then it turns out that part of the story that I said is not acceptable for some reason or another. So do you say that since... So then the Gemara says that since part of my long, long story cannot be accepted, Eidi Shabbatim Mitzvahs, so since part of my story is not accepted, Bat Lekula cannot accept anything of what I said. So the Ravid says, the Rosh in the first paragraph of Makkos quotes the name of the Ravid. Where did the Gemara derive that from? How does the Gemara know this? Such a principle, the Gemara doesn't quote any pasuk. You can't just make up such a din from thin air. As far as it isn't. How does anyone know such a din exists that either you accept all the testimony or you don't accept it all? So the Ravid says that that is an extension of this din. Since we accept this, and this is learned out from a pasuk. You have a pasuk that says that two Edom are good or three Edom are good. So the Tana asks in the Mishnah, Nakas, if the Torah says that two are good, so obviously two are anything above are good, and anything below two is not acceptable. Anything above two is good. So why does the Torah have to say either two or three? You can give a person misa either with the witnesses, two witnesses, or with three witnesses. If two are good, three is certainly good. So the Tana answers, the reason why the Torah wrote two or three is to make an equation. That just like if you have two witnesses, and one of them turns out, and the minimum you have to have is two. So if one of the witnesses turns out to be postulated, so then you're left with only one aid. The one aid, aid echad, is no good for dealing with poshas. Can't give a person misa for dealing with poshas. So just like if you have a pair of two witnesses, one of them is no good, so the one who's left over is not acceptable, is not useful for any purposes. So too, if you would have had three Edom in the first place, and one of them would be no good, now you have left over two witnesses, so it's also no good. That's the makar, that's the derivation of the din, of Nimtzech and Min Edom Kor HaVapasuk. You have a big group of Edom, and they all testified, 100 Edom, and one of them is no good. One out of 100 Edom is Pasul, is a Korva, is a Russia, then you can't even accept the testimony of the 99. Either you accept everybody altogether, or you can't accept anybody. So based on that din, that if you have many Edim, many witnesses, and one of them is not acceptable, then you cannot even accept the testimony of the others who are Kashalohoi. So similarly, we might make the extension. What happens if all of the Edim who come to Bezdin are Kasha? But they tell a long story, it takes them half an hour, and one sentence from the story is not acceptable. So the Gemara says that's the same din. If Edim Shabbat Mitzvah Sabbat Lekula, either you accept all the Edim that he said, or you can't accept anything. Not only with respect to different people in the same person group, but with respect to everything that he said. If you can't accept one sentence, then you have to reject the whole eight.
That's why you may not have eight instead of eight.
Oh, that's what we'll have to discuss. That's this gigantic thesis on the bottom. Discusses whether or not you have to be out of it. We'll have to talk about it. Oh, that's the kasha that all of us shouldn't have. The Gemara has on Amud Beis a din that sometimes when the Edim tell a big story, so whatever you cannot accept, you throw out in the garbage, and whatever is acceptable, you do accept. So when that's called Palginam Dibure, we split his testimony, we split his words. Whatever is good is good, whatever is no good is no good. So the Rishonim all lives, that's a contradiction. On the one hand you say Palginam Dibure sometimes, on the other hand you have, and that's how we paskin, a machloikis on Daftesim and Beis. That's the next Gemara, Daftesim and Beis is Sanhedrin. Machloikis Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi, we paskin Palginam Dibure. On the other hand you have the Gemara in Bava Kama, in Teret Merube, the seventh Teret in Bava Kama. The Gemara says, that Eidish Abbas and Mitzvah about the Kula. Right, that's the Kasha that all the Rishonim talk about. So they have basically two answers on the Kasha. We'll have to discuss it at length. That's the bottom thesis that Pesach and Beis gives one answer, and the Ravid gives a completely different answer. It's a big machlok. We'll have to discuss that at length when we get to that Gemara.
What about the specific question that you have to ask, Mishay? The specific question that you have to ask.
Right.
And he accomplishes all the answers that they're satisfied with, so we don't care really about the version. In other words, what you do is you should accept his testimony on the basis of the questions of the answers.
But still, if he comes together with a group, and then he volunteers more information, then can it be accepted? It depends. It's a completely extraneous thing. And he tells me a whole story that somebody owes somebody else money. And by the way, my son was Mechal Shabbos yesterday, and he's Chayiv Mises. So of course, that's absolutely unrelated. So the fact that he's related to his son and he's postulated will not negate, will not cancel the edus that he testified. That the halvah that somebody else was involved in, that has no shaykhah with each other. I mean, that's it's all one case, and within the same one case, he elaborates more on the story, and he volunteers information which cannot be accepted for some reason or another. Then the halacha says we cannot accept anything that he said. So that's the kasha that all of Rishonim discuss. When do you apply this klal, and when do you apply that klal? When do you say pagin yibure, that you accept whatever is acceptable? When do you say no, that since part of the testimony cannot be accepted, then none of it can be accepted? Yeah. What are they say that we're all there together? Yeah, well, and they say they were there with him. We'll have to see the place. The place we're going to discuss part of it. Let's first get to the beginning. So the Gemara now suggests that this, again, you had a machlekes, a man and a chachamim in the Mishnah. A man claims that his wife is Mizana. Look, the wife is Mizana, so she gets Misa. And let's say there was no hasra, or let's say there's some kind of a hitch, let's say there's manazeh, we have no Beis HaMikdosh, we have no Din Nefashim, so you can't give any onish misa. So then we're not going to give any onish, we can't give any misa, but the wife will be mafsid her ksuba. The husband won't have to pay ksuba. So if it's a case where it's going to lead to Din Nefashim, then you need 23 dayan to judge it. If it's a case where we're only discussing mamanas, that only need a three dayan. So here the machlokes are mere rabbanon, whether when a husband brings eidim to testify that his wife is mezana, it's talking about a specific case. The husband brought three eidim. One of the eidim was a korah, related to the husband or the wife. But one of the eidim is a rosh, the ganet, the rosh is posuled. The machlokes are mere rabbanon is, can I accept the testimony of the remaining two eidim? So Rameyah says, korah apostle, I cannot accept the testimony of the remaining eidim at all. And I have no case. There's no case of doing the fashion, there's nothing to discuss. So that's why it's not going to lead to doing the fashion. And the Rabbanim say, no, that they don't believe in the Zinim, Nimsech, and the Korah of Apostle, and just because one of them is no good, it doesn't affect the Heksha of the other two Eidim. So mainly the woman will be getting Misa based on the testimony of the other Eidim. Let's see again the Gemara. Ravino Amar, in the fourth line from the top of that testimony hour. Ravino Amar, the point at which Rameh argues with the Rabbanim and our Mishnah is Kigon. The husband brought, let's say, three or more Eidim who testify to each of these. And one of the Eidim turns out to be a Korah, a relative, or an apostle, let's say a Rosh. And what is the Machlek Jameh? The Rabbanim call Mishligi, and they argue, they took to the Rabbi Yosef Rebbe, Ali Bar Rabbi Akiva. They argue in the following Machlek. This not, Rabbi Akiva appears in a Mishnah Mat. So, Tosis points out, Rabbi Akiva follows up Shimon. Mishnah Makis poses this question. Why does the Chumash say, Al-Pishnayim Eidim, Al-Pishlosh Eidim, Yumas Ames? Mishnah says, Im is Kayem, so Eidim is Shnayim, if two Eidim are good, the Kavachimer that anything above two is certainly good. Below two is no good, and above two is not, above two is certainly good. So, after the Mishnah poses the question, so quotes several Tanoim who each give a different answer. And it's a little bit unclear from the Mishnah whether the Tanoim argue with each other, each one doesn't accept the other one's answer. Or each one holds Mara Machar of Loplig, each one holds from the other one's answer also. The Torah is equating a case where you have three Eidim to a case where you have two Eidim, the whole Dina. So Rav Shimon answers as follows. Tosis quotes Rav Shimon. In the second place is that Tesim and Allah, Tosis quotes Rav Shimon Aimer. And the second line of Tosis, Rav Shimon Aimer, Mashna Yemei Neherogim, Achi Yehu Shnehem Zomimim, Av Shlosha V'chule. Rav Shimon says the following. It says in the Torah, Din of Eidim is Zomimim. The Din of Eidim Zomim we discussed many times. The Din of Eidim Zomim is if Eidim testify that somebody owes money to somebody else, or that somebody should get meat, or somebody should get malchus, or some kind of a punishment, a penalty. And then we are mazim the Eidim. It turns out that they gave Eidim shekel, they weren't even there on that day. Mon ha'isim and makom plani. On that day they were in a completely different place, and they were unable to see what happened. So then the Torah says there's a special punishment given to the Eidim. Asisim lo. We give them the punishment that they wanted to mete out to the Nidon. Either they get the Nisa, the Malchus, or the Onish Momen, that they wanted to be mafsed that person. So the Pasuk says, when do you give the Eidim, and what's the thing in the following case? Two Eidim testify that I was Mechal Shabbos, amazing, they're going to give me Skila. And then later on, when Mazim the Eidim, it turns out that they told a lie. So the Mishnah says, the only time you give the Eidim the punishment of Kasha Zamam is if you're mazim both of the Eidim. Let's say you only mazim one Eid and not the other one. So then there's no punishment of Kasha Zamam. Because the Pasuk reads, how does the Pasuk say in the Pasuk? V'hinei Eid Sheker Ho'eid. It says, but V'hinei Eid Sheker Ho'eid. And whenever it says Eid in the Chumash, from Ochim Shalama Eid, it means two Eid. Eid doesn't mean a single testator. The wrong word. How do you say an eid echad in English? The word eid, if you would ask me, a single witness. The word eid, in the simple translation of Hebrew, the way the common usage, the word eid means a single witness, and eidim is a plural. Means more than one witness, two or more witnesses. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Sota, the first Mishnah Sota, that's not the biblical usage of the word. In Tanakh, it means paker. Whenever the word eid appears, it has the connotation of a pair of Eidim, a kat, Eidus, that can accomplish something. And whenever you want to say a single Eid, it has to say Eid Echad. If it doesn't say Eid Echad, it just says the word Eid, then it has the connotation, in biblical here it has the connotation of two. So here it says, V'hinei Eid Sheker Ho Eid. If we have established that the Eid is an Eid Sheker, so in biblical Hebrew that means if they're both Eidim, were shown to be Zamanim, so then you give Kasha Zama. So what happens if you have three Eidim who testify that I'm Chayiv Nisa, I did an Avera, and I'm supposed to get Nisa, and we are Mazim two out of the three. So two out of the three is called Eid Sheker or Eid. The word Eid means mute. The word Eid means Eidus, Akat, so you have two. Two is Akat. So comes Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon precedes Rabbi Akiva. And the Mishnah Max, Rav Shimon says, why does the Chumash write, Al Tishnai Eidim HaShlosh Eidim Rumas Ameis? So the person could get the death penalty either if you have two Eidim or three Eidim. It comes to tell me wisdom. What happened? To make an equation, a heckish, between a case where you have two witnesses and a case where you have three Eidim. Just like if you would have only two witnesses. And then if you'd only be Mazen one of them, you wouldn't give him Kasha Zaman punishment. Because it says, Hine Eid Sheker Ho Eid. The whole, and the word Eid means, not Eid Echad, a single witness, Eid means the Kat of Eidim. So too, if you have three Eidim, and you mazin two of them, nu, good, so you mazin two of them, so it's already eight Sheker Ho Eid. Eid means two Eidim. So Rav Shimon says, no, the Mishnah tells us, the Pasuk makes an equation between two Eidim and three, just like if you had two Eidim testified, you have to be mazin the entire pair of Eidim. So too, if you have three Eidim, you won't punish even the Eidim whom you were mazin, the two whom you were mazin, unless you mazin all three. Let's say you had 100 witnesses, the Mishnah continues. And what if you had 100 witnesses who testified that I'm Chayav Nisa, and then we're mazim 99 out of 100, and the 100th witness is never Husam? Nobody, he's also giving Eid HaShekah, but nobody knows that he was in a different place on that day. Maybe he was back in town. He probably didn't see the Maaseh Chilul Shabbos either. But nobody could be mazim him. So then the Mishnah says that all 99 who gave Eid HaShekah were Husam. It was ascertained that they were in a different city, at a different location at the time of the Maaseh. They don't get any punishment. That's what Rav Shimon says. That's what Rav Shimon says. So Rabbi Akiva follows, so Rav Shimon is telling us a kula. Rav Shimon tells us a kula, that if you have three witnesses testify that I'm Chayav Nisa, and we're mazim, 100 witnesses testify, we're mazim 99 out of 100 witnesses, and you're not mazim the last one, since all 100 witnesses are combined with tzuras to form one kat, as long as you're not mazim the entire kat, you don't give the entire group of the Eidim, you don't give anybody any punishment of kashem. So he's telling us a kula, because a simple reading in the Chumash, would have implied, as long as you're mazim, two Eidim is enough. So Rav Shimon tells us the kula, no, you got to be mazim the entire kat, depending in each case how big the kat is, how big the group of Eidim is. Comes Rav Akiva and says, now the Gemara quotes Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva says, Leibo hashlishi ela lahachmir olo. Not like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that al tishnayim Eidim hashlosha Eidim yumas hamei. The heck is between 2 and 3 is lahakil olam, to tell me a kula that if you have 100 Eidim and you mazin 99, you don't give them any penalty. No. The Kiva says, lo ba kosav lahakil. The pasuk isn't coming lahakil. It's rather coming lahachmer olam, to tell me a different din. What's the different din? Lasas dino kayetsu b'eil. The pasuk is telling me that the third witness, who's really like the fifth wheel on the car over here, the Eidim could have functioned with the first two Eidim and testified. What do you need the testimony of the third one for? Lamalav lamari, they would have given. If three Eidim come to testify that I'm Chayav Nisa, so as soon as the first two finish testifying, the Bezdin can already say, okay, that's enough. We don't need any more. What do we need? The extra third witness. And when the third witness tells his story, he's not really the one who's responsible for giving me the death. Let's say, if they would have given me the death, he wouldn't be the one who would be responsible for it. The first two already accomplished that the Bezdin was prepared to give me the death penalty. So the third guy is a Chanoch Schlepper over here. That's what Rabbi Kiva calls me. He's a Nitpal, Laovre Avere. He's just an associate, he's an accomplice in the crime. He's not the criminal himself. The real criminals are the first two Eidim. They have 100 witnesses, so the last 98 are just desserts. We don't really need them. The first two Eidim who testify, the first two kosher Eidim, who testify in the case, are the ones who accomplish that Bezdin will take their word for it, and they're going to give the punishment. So one might have thought that whenever you have a large group of Eidim testifying, and you mazim more than two, one might have thought that only the first two who testified get the punishment of Kasha Zaman. Because those are the ones who are Zamam Lazis Lach. Those are the ones whose testimony would have led to give the death penalty on the Onesh HaMamim, or the Onesh HaMalkus, or Knas, or whatever it is. But the extra ones after the first two, they were Stamnach Shlakas. So Rabbi Kiva says, that's why the Pasuk says, Al Tishnayim Eidim, Al Shlosh Eidim, Yumas HaMeis, to be Makish, to make an equation between a case where you only have two Eidim, you certainly killed both of them. You certainly give the, if you're Mazin both, then you give the death penalty to both, you give the Onesh HaMamim. The Odesh Malkus, whatever punishment they tried to give to the Nidon, we turn about and give it to them. So that din applies even if you had three Eidim or more than three. Al Tishnayim Eidim or Shlosh Eidim, there's a hekesh between two and three. If you have three witnesses, we are Machmir, not Maker, we are Machmir, to give even the third witness the same Einish as the first one. We call him the Nitzvah. Oh, that's what Taisha discussed. The three sheep, three passages. So Rabbi Kiva's Lashon is, Loi Bahakosu, Loi Bahashlishi, Lahakalala, Lahakalala. the hekesh between the two and the three is not like Rav Shimon said. It's telling us a kule, but if you mazim two out of the three, that the third one doesn't, that even the two whom you were mazim do not get any onish. No, it doesn't speak about that at all. It tells me a chumre. It tells me that the third witness, who is really not accomplishing the onish over here, still gets the penalty. And then Rabbi Kiva has a comment al derech hadras. He says in Cain, what do you see from the pasuk onish? Pasuk is hanitpal over averik over averik. You see from this pasuk that the one who's a nachshleper, the accomplice to the crime, gets the same punishment as the first two, who are the actual criminals. Allah has kama v'chama. How much more so? Shishalem, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays schar as hanitpal osei mitzvah kosei mitzvah. Allah has kama v'chama. Certainly, Hashem will give schar to the one who assists somebody who's doing a mitzvah, even though he's not really doing the mitzvah himself, because as Rashi quotes in a different Mishnah, we have. Rashi quotes, it says in the Mishnah Yumer, Midah Tayva Merubah Midah Peron. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives tzar to tzaddikim, he gives it in a much grander fashion than when he gives onesh to Rishon. No, they all say we were all standing together.
Oh,
so here's the machloket. What if three, let's take the following case. That's a major machloket, it's a matter of life and death of you. You have three witnesses testify that I was Mechal Shabbos. They were all standing there and they warned me, Shabbos Parshas Bahar, Washington Times, bombing Mechal Shabbos, I'm going to give you a Mises Kila. And they tell Bezin the whole story about that. Then Adam come and they're mazim two out of the three. And they never mazim the third one. Is that what Akiva meant to say? When you mazim two out of the three, the third one is only a nachshleper. If you mazim all three of the witnesses, so why is he a nachshleper?
He was who's on?
Oh, so this is a big machlokes in Rishonim. The rove of the Rishonim, the majority of the Rishonim learns that we mean that you are mazim all three. If whoever you were never mazim doesn't get any punishment. You were mazim all three. So why is he a nitpal? Why do we call the third guy a nachshleper? Because the Yedis would have been miskayem, if the Yedis would have been good. So whichever two testified first is finished. And the Kanal Habo, whoever comes after the first two who testified already, is just extra. So that's what Rabbi Kiva calls the, whoever comes after the first two is a nitpal. But Rabbi Kiva would agree, certainly, he only gives the punishment of Kasher Zaman. If you're mazim the third one, whoever is not huzam doesn't get the punishment. So the Mukhi Yesei, on the Mishnah Makkah, quotes the Maritz Geyus. One of the Rishonim at the time, Yeshivas they call Maritz Geyus. Now in the history books they call him Ibn Giyat. Rabbi Yitzchak Ibn Giyat is the correct name. He was a contemporary of the Rish. So Ibn Giyat says, in the Yeshivas quotes, that that's called Nibba. You're only Mazim too. Let's say you have, Rabbi Kiva says you have 100 witnesses testify that I am Mechal Shabbos. He said, 100 say they were all there together and they were all warned me, Hashem and Hashem. So you only mazim two out of them. So Rabbi Kiva says, not only did the two get me, so the additional 98 get me, so because they're enough schleppers of the two who are sinning. That's a nitpal of Aver. It's a hachidish nitpal.
What ground did you miss?
Yeah, they're not even in Mizrahim. It's a hapela. All of Hashem disagree with this marriage there. How can you say give me? So the chere, just to explain this Ibn Giyad, you have to say some kind of shah. So in the summer, what they say in yeshivas is the following. We discussed, I think, 2 weeks ago, we discussed that there are four people, we discussed the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here, whether a meisus needs hasra. Rashi seems to say that a meisus doesn't need hasra. Rashi and Tosfos are based on the meisus never need hasra, and all other chavimus need hasra. And Tosfos says the Eidah of Hasra, not that the Meisus doesn't need Hasra. Everybody needs Hasra. He doesn't need such a weaker Hasra, a weaker form of Hasra. He doesn't need a strong Hasra that you would normally require. It's not clear Hasra. So by Meisus, because we don't say the Hitzilahu Eidah, we say Rasachma or Lechachasal or Merachmanis on the Meisus, then we say that's acceptable for a Hasra. We just say Hechnaniah, Rabbi Shabbashim, etc. And Rashi sounds if he holds that there's no need for Hasra at all. So in discussing that, Rashi pointed out that the Gemara has later, in the ninth parak, that there are four people who need Hachroza, the Bezin. That before Bezin kills them, they have to put advertisements in the newspapers, put Meidoros all over Eretz Yisrael, that such and such a person is getting an Einish Misa because of such and such another. So the four people that they had were And that's the 10th page, that's Peitei Seminala. The Gemara said, Abot Shvichem HaKhraza, right before the second Mishnah. The Braisa says, the four people whom Bezin has to kill, that's the following HaKhraza. The Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, that by each one of these four, it says, V'hanisharim Yishmu V'yiro. Or it says, V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro. Everybody should be aware of the fact that this person was punished because of this such and such a fact. And the Torah only has such a phrase by four Mishnah Bezin. One is by Bensera Mora, one is by Nasus, the third is of the Mamre, and the fourth is Edom Zemir. So he pointed out, based on the collection of different Rashi's in Agimara, and Ksubis we had that it would appear that Rashi Shita perhaps is that all four who require Hachrazin, it's a different kind of a Nisa. It's not a Nisa as a punishment, the Sha'ovah. Normally we assume that an Einish Nisa is sort of as an Akama. The person did an Avera, so we punish him. It's a punishment for the sin that he did. So by these four, it would appear from the Chumash, that's how the Ramban writes on the Chumash. It's not really a punishment of Shava like a normal Einish. It's for the purpose of deterring the rest of Kohen Yisrael from doing this Azeva. And Yisharim Yishma V'yirol. The whole purpose of the Mises is for that. That's perhaps why in these four cases Rashi holds that we don't need any Hasra. When do you need Hasra? In order to give any Einish, you have to have a Hasra with the Einish Mitzah. Or Einish Malku, that's when the Einish is coming for the other that the person did. You have to establish for sure that the person was amazed B'Shas Mais. How do you establish the Zodin? How do you establish that the Aver was done the Nezut? You have to warn him, Tefka Dehibur, immediately before he does the Aver. But in these four cases, where the Yoynish is not really, where the Yoynish Mitzvah is not really for the Aver that he did the Shovah, it's rather to deter other people. The purpose of the Yoynish, the Ramban and the Chumash, is to deter other people in the future from repeating such an act that can serve more, Zakin Mamre, Keshal Ha'ad, the Gemara says, Zakin Mamre, Vosu, Tafka Dehibur, Fakir, and Beznagon. Beznagon says, Tilin is like that, and he passes Tilin like that. Such a big Aver, it's Tilin. The Gemara says, Achomet, Bishor, Shishis. So the Bez Nagolo says, it's also Bahanom, the Rabbanon, and he says, Mutabano. It doesn't hold from the Dindi Rabbanon. So he deserves the death penalty, but like the Paschim with the Chomet, and says, Mutabano, Bishor, Hamish, Bishor, Shishis. Big deal, you get me, you get me to that. The Gemara says, no, Gedesh, Lo, Harvest, Machlok, is Israel. It sounds like it's to deter. That's what the Ramban says. And the Gemara says, then, sir, and murder. All right, the kid is not the sweetest kid in the world. He steals money from his parents, and he buys wine, and he buys meat, and he eats the chevra. Of hooligans, gangsters, those people. So because, so the Mishnah says, Nid Hashem Sofer, that Etma Avera itself of stealing from the parents and not listening to them. A lot of kids are wild, so he's a little more wild than other kids. So for that, you get the Einish Misa. So Nid Hashem Sofer, you want to prevent something from happening in the future. So that's what the Ramban says, that all four are really not Nido and the Sho'ovah. They're not really punished for the Avera that they did in the past, but rather, all four are Hashem Sofer. And Edom Zedem also the Ramban like that, all four. That's perhaps why Rashi holds that all four don't need any Hasra. So, in Rab Chaim's language, I mentioned that Rab Chaim has no sefer. I think it's the last piece he says Rab Chaim has. When he speaks on Hilchas Mamrin, he speaks about Ben Sura Mor. So he says, what does that mean? That the Ben Sura Mor is neither Hashem Sofer, that the punishment is not for the Aver that he did, it's Hashem Sofer. So the way he words it is, that the onus comes because the kid has a shame Ben Sura Mor. Normally, 96%, so here you have four cases, let's say 96% of all Chavim Mitzvahs are Chavim Malkis. The Einish comes because of the person, we are mevar the fact the person did an Avera, whoever does that Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants an Akoma, we have to give such an Einish for that person, Malkis, Mitzvah, whatever it is. In these four cases, it's not so much the Sho'avah, whoever is, whoever has a shame in Saramah, whoever has a shame in Zemen, so that person gets such an Einish to deter people of Havah, whoever has a shame in Zemen. So if you should say like that the shame made zayim is mechayv in Einish, not an Einish l'shavah for yaver. Whoever has a shame zaka mamim and so on, we can begin to understand. That's how the sefer says. We can begin to understand the opinion of the Ibn Giyat that in Mukiyesikos. Rabbi Akiva's view is you only have to be mazim two. If you're not mazim, let's say 100 witnesses testify that I was mechal shabbos, we're mazim two out of 100. So you mazim two. So you have a pasuk v'hinei a sheker hori. A is a minimum of two. If you don't have two, it's called Eid Echor. Whenever it says Eid Stam in the Chumash, it's not like a modern Hebrew, Eid means one witness, a single witness. Eid means a pair of witnesses. It's two. Eid Sheker, Eid Yomazim, two. So it's Eidim and Zayim. So they should really get the Yonish Kashazal. So comes the Ibn Giyat and he says, but we have a din of Korav Apostle. We have Halacha, 100 witnesses testifying. One of them is a Rasha, one of them is a Korav. So not only is that person postulated, all the other people in that Kat are also postulated. So Rabbi Kivega has a famous topic that the Paschim discuss in Ibn Ezra in the Zayntak and Hefer Aguna in the following case. The din is that anybody whose postulatus is accepted by an Aguna, the man's brother testifies is okay. A woman testifies, Noshma Paschim is okay. Even a All the psulim are accepted. What happens if he's a Rosh Shal Torah, a Gazon Shal Torah? So the Gemara says, we mentioned, the Gemara says in the end of the second paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, Gazon Shal Torah is possible at issue. So Rabbi Kivega has the following shaila. What happens if two Eidim come to testify that the man was killed and that he was buried and he's 100% sure he's dead? The man is absolutely dead. In wartime, let's say, if they say he was killed in action, that's not enough, because maybe he was wounded and then the enemy picked him and then they ran away. The enemy picked him up. So in wartime, the Gemara says, if there's a strafe and everybody's running away, just because we say, we saw that he fainted, that he fell, doesn't necessarily mean that he's dead. But let's say they say, Mace the Kavanuhu, he was killed and we buried him. We know for sure that he's dead. So what happens if you have two Eidim who testify in Eidim's Bible? One of the Eidim is a Russia, a Gazon shopper, the other Eidim is a Tadigal. They both say the same thing, that the man died, made violence. So the one who's a Rosh, Gazlan Shal Torah, we do not accept his testimony, it's Tachti Gemara in Rosh, Gazlan Shal Torah, Fossil Eidish Ish. What about the other Eidach of the Tzadik? Do we say Korva Fossil?
No, he's accepted
anyway. Do we say... We accept one witness.
Why not? What's
one
witness?
Because it's By
Raguna, Eidechud is always accepted. Even an Eidechud is possible. But if there's an Eidechud who's a Rosha of Gazlan Shal Torah, we don't accept it. The other Shabbos have two Eidim. So if the Rosha wouldn't have come, so the Tzaddik would have been believed to be Mavar, that makes violence. Sorry that the Rosha came together with the Tzaddik.
But maybe
so the Rosha we don't accept.
He's not an Eidim, he's not a Chalik of the group.
This you would have, let's say, a case of Didi Mamanus and Nefashis, and three Eidim would testify, and one of them would be a Rosha, then we wouldn't accept the Eidim of the other two. So Rabbi Kivega raised the question, what about over here? Let's go slowly. If you have two Eidim testifying on Eidim, one of them is a Rosh, a Gazon Shal Torah. The other one is a Tzaddik. So on the one hand, what's Ken Shain Zayin over here? You say Korv Apostle, so he's Apostle. But all Psulim are accepted. Korv Apostle, like another Psul. So the Rosh is no good. The Tzaddik is also not Kashal Eidim because of a formal Psul of Korv Apostle. But all formal Psulim are acceptable by Eidim. The only Psul that's no good is the one that's a Hashash Meshachas. For sure he should be acceptable. Or Rabbi Kivega says, maybe not. He's not sure. Everybody asks, what do you mean, maybe not? What's it sad to say, maybe not? So in Yeshivas, what they say over is the following. Rabbi Kivega is mitzvah, what's the nature of the din of Karav Apostle? Does Karav Apostle mean? It's a formality, that if one of the 100 Eidim testifying, one of them is no good, then the others are also not acceptable. It's absolute of Karav Apostle. But perhaps not, Rabbi Kivega is mitzvah, maybe the nature of... Issues. Oh, okay, you know. Leave out the Aguna story. Let's consider it. Mamanus, Nefashis, Dabash, if you have a normal case where you really need two Eidim. If you have 100 Eidim, one of them is no good, so all the others are no good. How do you, it's a din, you don't have to explain it. But how would you formulate the din? Does the halacha say, it's a psula, there is a concept that if one is no good, either you accept all or you accept nothing. You can't accept, you can't break it in half. Or do you say no? That's apparently what Rabbi Kivega is specific. Or do you say no? When you have Nimsa, Echad, Beno Eidim, Karav Apostle, the shame psula that he has, applies to the other guy also. So I pass on the other one, if I have 100 witnesses and one of them is a brother of the fellow whom we're discussing, we consider they all have a psul courage. One of them is a Rosh, we say they all have a psul Rosh. Whatever the psul of the apostle is, the Torah says Karav Apostle, that psul is chal on the others also. So apparently, it's a strange, it's still shver. It's still shver. Why by an aguna? Still very sure. Why should you say by an aguna? Just because one of them is a Gazon Shal Torah, so that psul is chal on the Eidus of the other, and you say his Eidus is also not acceptable. It has the psul of Gazon Shal Torah. But Sof Kol Sof, he himself is not a Gazon Shal Torah. So he's not Pasha the Shaker. It's vital formality. But still, Sof Kol Sof, it boils down to a formality that we have a formal legal principle that we slap on a psul. We label his Eidus as Eidus of the Gazon Shal Torah. But the Maisi is not a Pasha the Shaker. How can you not accept his Eidus? It's still a Peledig of Rebbe Kivega. But apparently, that's what Rebbe Kivega, that's what the same issue. That's what Rebbe Kivega was driving at. What's the nature of the psul of Karav Apostle? These are a psul, a new din. Means the Echad and Karav Apostle, you can't accept it. Or no, the Torah tells us the nature of the din is that the shem ha-psul that applies, that exists on the one aid, we apply to the other aid and we pass on his testimony, mitam gazlon and mitam rosh. So if it's mitam gazlon shal Torah, and gazlon shal Torah is no good. Apparently the married geyus has such a similar story over here. Apparently he holds, once you're mazim to aidim, so you mekayim the pasuk hine eid sheker ha'eid. Eid means shnayim. Akat eidim is established to be mishoyim. So they get kashas on the road. They're keeping the mishnah mark. So if Shimon says you have 100 witnesses and you're only mazim 2, even if you're mazim 99, nobody gets any punishment until you mazim the 100th one. Because either you mazim all and they all get the oynish kashas on, or nobody gets. Achiozom kulam. Everybody has to be huzam. Chamshav Akiva says no. That's how the marriage gate went. All of the Torah doesn't come to give a kula that you don't punish the 99 until you mazin the last time with one. El hachmer or paker, if two out of the 100 are huzmu, then you punish even the extra 98 who were never huzmu. How can you say that they're raiding zaynimim? So the answer apparently is that strange shita, nobody passes like this, Marzias, but the answer, just to explain the shita apparently, is based on a combination of these two points. Number one, he holds that the nature of Korva Apostle is that if two Adam have a shame made zaymim, so we label all of the others with the psula made zaymim. All of the Adam. Nimsechem, the Adam Korva Apostle, is not Samadin, you don't accept the other Adam. You don't accept it because you take the shame psul that exists on these and you apply it to the other. So we label all of them as Adam zaymim. And then number two, he holds apparently like the spur that we say b'shem Abchayim b'shem, based on that Rashi and that Peites, that the onesh of Edom Zomimim, these four, Edom Zomimim and Mesis and Ben Toramore, these four people get the onesh not because we were mavar that they did an aveira of giving Edishek. No, we were never mazim them. Could be talking that the 98 people were there. We're only mazim two. The onesh of Kasha Zomim comes. Odd sheep. So the marriage gate is putting together. Yeah. Shvera sheep. That's how the marriage gate learns Pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says, "Loi boha shlishi lahakir ola ola lahakir ola." The reason why it says two or three is to be makish two to three, but it's not like a pshinin said lahakir that if you have 100 witnesses and you mazim 99. Nobody gets an Anish until you imagine the 100th one, no. He says, Fakir, Lahachna, if you imagine two, then you give the Anish Kajizama, meaning to the 98 who were never Huzmo. That's what called Nitzpah, Lahoga, Vera. They're talking Nachschleppers. They didn't do anything wrong. They were never Huzmo. They were never Huzmo. That's how the marriage gaze went. Yeah, that's a stark time against Rebbe Gibbon. That's a tie against Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega says by an aguna, if you have
they would have liked to do or what they wanted to do.
Right.
But now when you're trying to say that only the first two are coordinated, I would think that all three were trying to get him killed.
They were all three trying to get him killed, but legally speaking, whoever comes after the first two is not really accomplishing too much at all. Because the first two could have already finished the whole case. They couldn't finish them all. So that's the chiddush, that if you add more than two, even the nitpolim, even the nachshlatas who came after, who testified, after the first two had already finished their testimony, are also in the notion, if you madma. Yeah. Mina, according to Taisus, that Rabbi Kiva doesn't require Yozan Wukula. According to Rashi and Marcus, that Rabbi Kiva is masking the Shripshim and Allah Alamaisa, so you have to be masking everybody anyway. Just masking the first and the third, so nobody will get anyway. Nobody will get anyway. But you mean, according to Taisus, that if you're masking the first and the third, so they should get Nisa. So then the shadow will be, I mean, if you wouldn't have had this pasuk, you would have thought that no one would get Nisa. If not for this pasuk, you would have thought only if you imagine the first two, then the first two get meat. The first and the third one I get meat, I guess. So that's this pasuk is machadish. If you imagine the first and the third, they alone will get meat and the others will not. Yeah, that's how Taisus will know.
Yeah.
So Nachama, so getting back, we're learning now Sanhedrin. Getting back over here. Yeah? So the Gemara, Ravina claims, Ravina suggests, perhaps the Machlokes Rav Meir Nachachamim in the Mishnah is, in Azah Hechitimsa, in such a case, the husband brings three Eidim who testified that his wife was Mazanez and Eiris, whatever, while they were married, in such a way that she got Hasroah and she's supposed to get an Eidish Misa. However, one of the three Eidim who comes to testify happens to be Akkadish, or happens to be a Rosh. Alright? So Dami Hachem, we should disregard the Eidachim who's the Karab of the Rosh. Isn't it sufficient with the remaining two? So the Rabbina suggests, maybe this is the Machlokes Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan holds that it's sufficient with the remaining two Eidim, that there's no din of Karab Apostle, and the Rav Meir holds in the Mishnah that there is a din of Karab Apostle, and therefore there never will come to any ownership of this. Where do you find this Machlokes HaTanaim, whether there's a din of Karab Apostle? Where is this Machlokes? Let's see. So far we weren't there but to see it. We might have come with Ligi, to talk to the Rabbi Yossi, the Rebbe, Ali, the Rebbe Akiva. Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe, the Sin, Rebbe Akiva. We didn't get there yet. So first, the first initial Machlokes quotes of Shimon. Shimon says that the Hekish Shloshal Lishnayim is, that you need it. Lohakel, actually, Yazam Akula. So how did they even testify? Imagine 99, nobody gets on the Shemitah until you imagine 100%. That's before Rebbe Akiva. Comes Rebbe Akiva says, wrong. What do you mean wrong? So we discussed the three pshatim. By his gaze, Rashi says, what? In what sense was he wrong? So then Rabbi Kiva says, what does it come to tell you? It tells you the din. Umashna. We pass like this. So that's one machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. That's not what Ravina is referring to. That's one machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe, whether you apply Karav Apostle only in a Pashas, or even apply Tzimonis. We still didn't get to the punchline that Ravina is aiming at, but just until we get there, let's just figure this out. What are they fighting about now? Rabbi Yossi claims the Pashas happens to be speaking about Din Pashas. Al Pishnai made him a Shlosh Eidim Yumas Ameis, happens to be speaking about Din Pashas. But what's the svar? Don't we have a din mishpatach yulechem mishpatach shor lekuchem? We had on the first doubt that the that hilchas seder is the same. Oh, so here is the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Here's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's pshat in Rabbi Yosef? We don't pass like Rabbi Yosef. We pass like Rabbi Yosef. It's quoted in the Choshen Mishpat. The din of Korva Pasul is the whole thing in the Choshen Mishpat. We don't have any din in the Pashas, but we only have din in Lomini. So Allah, we pass like Rebbe, the Korv HaPosel is a universal din that is not limited to the Pashas, it even applies to Lomini. But let's just figure out why did Rabbi Yossi, what's the rationale of Rabbi Yossi, why should Rabbi Yossi be seen? So here is Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, on Adah, the din in the Pashas. Rashi has the same shot there, Machlokes. So he says, the din in the Pashas, the Rahman Amr, the Yitzilah HaEidah. In the Pashas, you have a din, Mahadvin and Basas Chusa. You always try to save the person's life. So if you have 100 witnesses, and one of the 100 is Pashas, so you're darshan a Pashas. It's interesting to have a Pashas without Bishnai made a odd shita. So if Maharaj Gay is putting together. Yeah? Shvereshi. That's how the Maharaj Gay is learned Pshat in the Mishnah. The Kiva says, Lai Boha Shlishi, Lahakilola, Lahakarola. The reason why it says two or three is to be makish two or three, but it's not like a pshinin says lahokir, that if you have 100 witnesses and you mazim 99, nobody gets an earnest until you mazim the 100th one. No, he says fakir lahachna, if you mazim two, then you give the earnest kashidam and you can do 98 whoever who's more. That's what's called nitfala over avera. They taka nachshlepes. They didn't do anything wrong. They were never who's more. They were never who's more. That's how the marriage gaze went. Yeah, that's a stark time against Rebbe Gibbon. That's a time against Rebbe Kivega. Rebbe Kivega says by an aguna, if you have two witnesses come and say meis habal, that the husband died. One of them is a gazon shel Torah, and the other one is a tzadik gomer. So Rebbe Kivega has a suffix that since in edus aguna, you cannot accept the gazon shel Torah. Maybe you cannot accept the witness who is kosher, who is a tzadik because of the din of karvapot. So you find what kind of a carve apostle? When you have a dinner, you need two Edom or more. Then the Torah says you need a katz, you need a tziruf of several people coming, you need a group of Edom. So the minimum size of the group should consist of is two. So if you have 300, 400, 1,000, that's all one big group. And then you could say nin tzeach man carve apostle. But if you have a case like by Heter Agunas, where all you need is one Ed Echot, how can you say that if you have two Edom that they form a katz? You don't even need a katz. That's a stark time.
Why would this, when you have 10, just come
on? The Rishonim have such a svar, the Miri and the Ritzvor and Makas have such a svar. Whenever you don't need two Edim, then the holding of Karva Apostle shouldn't apply.
Why, I understand why you explain why, but if you have 10, does it become part of the same katz if you need two?
If you need two, means the Torah says it's a din that two people are Mitzuruf Yachad. Once there's a din of zero for people, then you can say, not only two, 10 or 100 also. But by Meis Bailo, where you don't even need two, and the Rechot can solve the whole problem by himself. So whenever one is enough, so the Rijvon and Miri has such a stuff. But they talk right on a level of their Raisa. The other case where their Raisa Erechad is good. By Agunim and Atarev, I'll be Tash to really need 2 8. And it's only a Kulim of the Rabbana that Erechad is good. It's only a Kulim of the Rabbana that Erechad is good. But that's why it's Shaykh. The Pnei Yeshua time is that by an Agunim and Atarev, all you need is Erechad. Pnei Yeshua has a Sifrei. I think we mentioned it once. Pnei Yeshua has a Sifrei. It says, Lo Yokum Erechad Be'ish, Lo Chalav, Lo Chal Chatos, Lo Chal Chet Asher Yechta. So the Sifrei says, L'Yachim Echad B'ish, Aval B'isha Hukam. So Eid is Aguna, to testify that the woman is Mutaris Le'inot, because the husband died, for an Aguna Eid Echad is good. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua time is. The Ikarat Din that Eid Echad is good by Meis Bailo was really a Din there, right? Learn that from the Post. All the Sugis in Yavamas don't seem to say so. So he says, nah, the Gemara Yavamas is trying to explain away why the Rabbana didn't make a Chumrah, why they didn't do away with that Kulam of the Reis. So Mishum, Milsad, Abed, Glui, whatever, that's why they didn't make any Chumrah. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. And the Rov HaPaskim assumed that it's not so. The Pashtus and all the Rishonim is against the Pesha. The Pashtus is that Minatari, you really do need Shnei Eidim by Meis Bayim. And it's a special Kulam in the Rabbana that Erechot should be accepted. And it's a big problem. So then you can tell when Tuka, even though with the Rabbana, one is enough. But since Minatari, there is a concept of Ka, so that's why Rabbi Kivegi already introduces such a discussion. That's what we're going to have to do the big Tesis on the bottom. That's a major Machlech Zvashim place.
If the guy has a bad reputation, why not just take the one?
If the guy has brains, if the tzaddik has brains,
she
comes to test. They didn't realize. The tzaddik didn't realize who the Zemino Hakuri Yen said this. He didn't realize who the Shutta was. Otherwise, he can come to Bezma himself and leave the Rosh home. Come to stay home. So again, so the Mishnah has him ask us this question. Why does the Torah say, Alpishnai Moshloi Shadim Yumas Ameis, if Edith is good with two Edim, so certainly anything above two is good. Why does it say shlosha? It must be to make a hekesh, to make an equation between two and three. And what's the, with respect to what's the first Tana who speaks is Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that just like if you have two Edim, the halacha says you only give an onish kasha zalam anchi zalmu shneihem. So two, if you have three, you will only punish the two who are huzmu. Anchi zalmu kulam if you'll bring mazim off of the third one. And if you have 100 Edim, you mazim 99, nobody gets any onish. Until you mazim the 100th one also. That's what Rav Shimon says. Comes Rav Akiva and sounds like he's disagreeing. Lo bo hakostav lahakilolov. Lo bo hashlishi lahakilolov. Lahakilolov. What does it mean? So he mentioned there are three pshat. Just how to translate the word. So the marriage gay says that he disagrees halacha lamaisim min hakostav lahakostav with Rav Shimon. Whereas Rav Shimon says, if you have 100 eidim, And Yamazim 99, nobody gets punished till Yamazim, the last one, the very last one. He says just the opposite. If Yamazim 2, the other 98 do get punished. That's Ashita's Chuyah, that's the Marit Geis and Pshat. Nobody, the regular Rishon don't accept. So leaving out the Marit Geis and Pshat, there are still two ways to translate the words in them. As the Tosfos says, you could say that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Reb Shimon's din. Loi bar kasev ha'chol olav, your din is wrong. The pasuk compares two to three for a different din, for the din of Korah, possible getzu. But your din is wrong. If you have 100 Adim, you might as well two. But if those two, even if you have 3 Adim, 3 are the same as 2. So if one of them, one of the three is a Rasha or a Korah, even if the other two, who should have been good, are no good. That's called Korah by pasuk. The Tosfos just says, Pshat and Rabbi Yosi, what do you mean if you have two, and one of them is no good, the remaining one is no good, he's nothing. Why is he nothing? It depends what your case is. If your case is Nefashis, Hadech Nefashis is no good. If your case is Dovish Abiyarbo, Hadech Dovish Abiyarbo is no good. But what if the case is Mominus? Hadech Abiyarbo is not zero. He's good for Shvu, he's good for something. So the case says, Rabbi Yosi is arguing on the Mashnayim. What do you mean? You equate 3 to 2. 2 is the same as 3, 3 is the same as 2. Now what's the din in 2? If you have 2 and one of them is no good, the remaining one is good in Mominus. He's good to the extent he would have been good. He would have been good for the purpose of Shvu. If you would have a din of Karv Apostle, that's how we pass Mishnah. If you have a din of Karv Apostle, halacha l'maisa, we pass like Rebbe. The Karv Apostle applies universally. Ben the Mominus, Ben the Nefashis, Ben the Dovish of the Yerba. The Mominus, if you have 2, if you have 100 witnesses, and one of them is Huzam, or one of them is a Karv or a Rosh or whatever, so the remaining 99 are absolutely no good for anything, not good to be Moshi Mammon, not even good to make a Chiv Shvur. Halacha l'maisa, we pass like Rebbe, there's a din of Karv Apostle. But if you don't know that the din is like Rebbe, you're trying to establish, is there a din of Karv Apostle? So how can you say, well, if you would have had 2 Adim, one of them would be no good in Mominus. The remaining Adim would also be no good for any purpose whatsoever. What are you talking about? It is good. It's good for Shvur. So for whatever purpose Adim is good, and Mominus Adim is useful. Aloha lemaise that we pass. You don't give them the punishment until you mazun the third. In Kevin Nechsiv, Kosov Kosov, it does say, Rashisim like Asher Zaman. Hare Zaman Mushnayim. The Torah says you give a punishment to the Adim who tried to give an onish to an innocent person, no, and if you have 3 Adim, and 2 of them were Huzma, so those 2 could have given the onish. So Harizama Mushnayim, Shiyesh Kol V'Yidem La'arav Bifnayatim, they could have accomplished to give the Nisa without the third guy. So why, Tosfos says, Rabbi Akiva perhaps also doesn't make sense to stay like Rav Shimon. That's the second shot in the Mishnah. Lo Ba'akos V'Hakol Allah, V'Allah L'Hachmer Allah. That whoever was Huzma gets the onish, whoever was Lo Huzma will not get the onish. However, Tosfos continues, in the second white line of Tosfos, the Kuntris, Pirish B'Makas, and Rashi comments in Makas on this Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva doesn't really disagree at all with Rav Shimon. That's the third sheet, the third pshat in the Mishnah. The Marit Geis line pshat Rabbi Akiva disagrees legamre the opposite. If you mazin 2, the remaining 98 get punished even under the Lo Huzma. Tosfos says, Tosfos thinks that maybe Matzil the name, and maybe Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rav Shimon, whoever is Huzma gets punished, whoever is Lo Huzma doesn't get punished. Rashi says, no, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rav Shimon, halacha l'maaseh. Sechtezel b'din. If you have 100 witnesses and you mazin 99, nobody gets punished until you mazin the last one also. But whereas Rav Shimon had to have a hekesh for that, Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need the hekesh for that. Loi ba'a kosev l'hach, loi ba'a kosev l'hach alolav. You don't need this pasuk to be meikel. I have a different pasuk. When the pasuk says, Tosfos quotes it, the kuntres pirish b'makas, Rashi says in Maseches Makas, loi ba'a hashlishi l'hach alolav. You don't need this hekesh to tell you, atchi ezam u'kulam. No. L'hach alolav loi tzorach kro. I don't need this pasuk. The chsiv in a different pasuk says, v'hinei ek sheka ho'ei. The mashma, the word eight, doesn't only mean 2 witnesses and not a single witness. Eight means the whole group of eight, the whole, however they have. The mashma kol eight. In the mele from that pasuk, Rabbi Akiva already knows, Veidim ne'rogam achi ezom u'kula. So the mele, the pasuk of to be makish, Rosh Hashanah, must be telling me something else. Those are the 3 pshatim exactly what did Rabbi Akiva say with respect to what Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Shimon said, if you have 100 witnesses, you're 99, nobody gets punished. So the question is, does Rabbi Akiva agree with Rabbi Shimon, but he just told us, learned that from a different pasuk? That's how Rashi says. Rashi says, maybe Rabbi Akiva disagrees and holds whoever is Huzam gets punished, whoever is not, does not. And Marz Gei says, everything is fakir. Huh? So what is Lahachmer Olav? So then the Mishnah continues. The pasuk doesn't come to tell me that. The Mishnah continues, in our Gemara, Loi Vash Lishi Lahachmer Olav doesn't come to that din. Ela Lahachmer Olav tells me a chumra. La'atel dino kayyotze boeg. What is the chumra? That if you mazim all 3, then not only will the first 2 get kashizamam, the third one will also get kashizamam. You mean, I know that from the other pasuk also. You mean, ayyay sheker ho'ayy. Apparently Rashi visualizes like this. If you would just have the Hinei Sheker Ho'ed, it means we have to be Mazdim all 100 Eidim in order to give any Kashazana. If you're only Mazdim the first 99, nobody gets Kashazana. But after you finally accomplish the Hazama on the 100th Eid, then only the first two would have gotten Kashazana. Because those are the only ones who really, with Zaman Masal, those are the only ones who are really accomplishing anything worth speaking of. So now I have a pasuk, Lahakish no shalishnaim, that even the Nachshlep, the Nitpal also gets an Eidishman. Shver, have any? A sign against Rashi. If I know it already from another place, come on. It's a good to sign. Right.
But now when you're trying to say that only the first two are coins, you're sort of explaining differently. I would think that all three were trying to get
killed. They were all three trying to get him killed, but legally speaking, whoever comes after the first two is not really accomplishing too much at all. Because the first two could have already finished the whole case. They couldn't finish them all. So that's the chiddush, that if you add more than two, even the nitpolim, even the nachshlatas who came after, who testified, after the first two had already finished their testimony, are also in the notion, if you mind them. Yeah. Mina, according to Taisus, that Rabbi Kiva doesn't require your zangul kula. According to Rashi and Marcus, that Rabbi Kiva is masking with Rabbi Shimon Allah HaLamaisa, that you have to be masking everybody anyway. If you just masking the first and the third, then nobody will get anything. Nobody will get anyway. But you need, according to Taisus, that if you're masking the first and the third, that they should get me, so then the shadow will be, if you wouldn't have had this pasuk, you would have thought that no one would give me something. If not for this pasuk, you would have thought only if you masking the first two, then the first two get me. The first and the third will not get me, I guess. Was the person who was the Korah of the Apostle, was he this Kavin Lahoid, or was he learning this Kavin Lahoid? But if he's learning this Kavin Lahoid, Dr. Rebbe, Mayasu, Shneyachim, Yechot, what will be in the following case? Somebody's murdering somebody else in the street, and three people are watching, two brothers and a third party. One of the brothers, the third party, come to Beit Mikdash, and the other brother happened to be watching all. So you need to say, Mayasu, what will they do in the following case? Mayasu, Shneyachim, Yechot, two brothers and a third person. Shiro, who are watching, watching an act of Mitzicha, watching somebody murder somebody else, or any other case, watching a Havor, watching a Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Yom Tov, wanting to give Malkus, whatever. So Rabbi argued, would you say the din of Korva Apostle just because the two brothers were watching, that the two brothers would testify together, they're croaking to each other? So he says, no. As long as he was laying his Kam in the Hoyt, as long as one of the Psulim, one brother is, okay, one brother with me. I'm not related. One brother is with me, Koshalot. Two brothers together at Sulim. So if one of the two brothers didn't have Kavan Lahoid, so he wouldn't pass on the whole group of him. That's how Rebbe came. So getting back to how does Rabin interpret our Mishnah? It's a special case. Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan argue in the following case. The woman was, let's assume the woman was really Mizana, and there were three people watching the Shas Maisha. One of the three people was Aganif, one of the three people was Akorif. But the one who was Aganif or Akorif was Loinis Kavan Lahoid. He didn't intend to testify. The Shas Maisa, when he was watching the act, he didn't intend to testify. So that's a machlokes between, within Rabbi Kiva's din of Korav Apostle, there's a machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi. Does the din of Korav Apostle only apply when the Apostle of the Korav had intention he was miskaven lahoid? Then you say he's one of the eight, and he has a shame aid because he was miskaven lahoid. But you say, no, even if Loinis is Kavan Lahoid, he automatically gets a shame aid by himself. And you also say, it's Nitzah Echem Min Eidim Korav Apostle. So the Chachamim say in the Mishnah, you're going to have Din in the Foshet, you need 23. Why? Because since the Yeh, who is the Ganef or the Korah, was learning his Kavan Lahoid, so there's no Din of Korah Apostle. So the two who are Kosher Lahoid are going to have a Din of Din Misa for the woman. So you need a Bezna 23. And Rameh says, no, there's not going to be any Misa, because even though the Korah or the Ganef was learning his Kavan Lahoid, you still say Korah Apostle, and you still say Nim Tzach and Korah Apostle, and there's no Din of Apostle. That's the simple reading of the Gemara, the simple shot. Taisus is going to already introduce, the bottom Taisus is going to already introduce Halacha Lamaisa, what's the top of the din on this? When do you apply Korah Apostle? Well, no, it's not so partial just because three people were watching. Taisus, what do you mean? Taisus, Bektakasha, Lo Motsini Yedein of Rav Leino, whenever you have a wedding. Whenever you have a wedding, so the Gemara has a din that you have to have Aiden watching. If you don't have Aiden watching, let's say if I sell you a house and nobody's watching, as belongs to you. The sale is valid. The only thing is, that if later on I'll deny it, if I want to be a crook and I got to play around, I'll deny it, So I can always cheat you and get the house back, because you will not be able to prove that I sold it to you, that I gave it to you as a gift. But if no, then you don't say kosher. Then you don't say kosher. Yeah, then it's not kata. So it's more market. Only if they come to you. Come, if they come shlev et tefle libur, then you don't say karlo. There are different shmitas in Shulchan Aruch. You don't say karlo. Yep, the separate kind. Whoever comes not tefle libur, they separate. Indeed, in the fashas, you can't have that. In the fashas, you have to have a moment if you can have one now and one later. In the fashas, you have to have two at a time. So if two come today, two come tomorrow, then they're two separate groups. Then you can actually zomu kulam in each group. Okay. Ah, let him give Edus a second time without the rush. The Rishonim asked that kasha every time you have karva pasul. Whenever you have karva pasul only pasul if they come testicle dibur. So let the 100 witnesses testify, and one of them is no good. So tell two guys out of the 99 who are left, say over there, I've got to say this, and everything will be fine. Min Chayzer Magad is only a tool when you have a formal day. Yeah, for sure. Not on the Gadra, on the Haggadah. That's fine, and that's possible. Yeah, it's so unclear in the Mishnah. What?